Okay, well, we've been talking about the Sanctification Highway, and I have brought some messages on the tools to be able to go on Sanctification Highway. And the first one was what?
Love.
And then?
Joy.
Peace. And today's patience. And we're going to see today that, well, I don't think we have this passage of Scripture up there, but we do have the tools on the journey. And Sanctification Highway, that's the difficult part. That's the what road?
Narrow.
That's the narrow road, right? That's the narrow road. And when we talk about the narrow road, I really truly believe that a lot of people think, well, that just means you just don't do what the world does. No, it's more than that. It's more than that. You see, a lot of people, I think, when they think they're on the narrow road, I just won't do these things. And there's a list of things, right? I won't do these things. Well, it's more than that. Not only will I not do these things, but I will what? Do these things. That's the hard part. The eliminating part's easier than the doing part, right? And I'll give you an example of that. You know, loving your enemies. Some people will say to me, you know, well, I will just avoid them, thinking that means you're on your narrow road. That doesn't mean you're on the narrow road, right? If you avoid the people who you don't like, that's not Sanctification Highway. You have to what? Love the people that you don't like. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. You know, well, I will try my best, you know, to have joy in all circumstances, but the Sanctification Highway is I will have joy in all of my circumstances. That's the hard part, right? So it's not avoidance, it's purposefully doing these things. Anybody find that hard to do sometimes?
Yeah.
That's the hard part, right? That's the hard part. And so today we pick up in the fourth of the tools that the Lord gives us, and that's patience. That's patience. Anybody have a hard time with patience? Anybody have a hard time even asking you that, maybe? And so when we talk about patience, you know, I'm going to give you maybe a little bit of a different take on that than what you think that means, right? I think what you think that means is like patience in the Walmart line. You may be thinking that's what that means, right? Or patience in traffic. That's not what that means. That's not what that means. And so when we get into this teaching today, and I open it up wide, on Wednesday, you're going to find out that's not what that means. It doesn't mean waiting for your food to arrive in the restaurant peacefully. That's not what that means. That's not what that means. What it does mean is slow to anger. That's what it means. Who said that? Eugenie? Oh, Rhoda. And so it doesn't mean waiting in line. It means slow to what? Anger. That's what it means. And now that I explained to you what it means, how many say, yeah, I got a problem with patience, all right, right? Slow to anger. So let's turn in our Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And you're not going to see them up there. We're going to do something pretty unique. Turn in your Bibles. Now, I know that's going to be a tough thing for some. But I think there might be some Bibles in the pews, I think, I hope, I pray. Bibles in the pews, right?
Yes.
So you really, truly need to turn into your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read for you 22 to 23. It's a list of the tolls, right? Galatians chapter 5, 22 to 23. Now, I know this is, you know, more effort than we're usually doing, but that's okay, right? And if you can't find Galatians in the 66 books, turn to the first book called Index. And they happen to list them. Hey, but what page is it on, Bob?
One.
Page one. And what page is Galatians 5:23 on?
665.
So there you go. Good, Sue.
Oh, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things.
Well, there you're going to see the fourth one of the fruit, or I'm referring to them as tolls for the highway. Patience. And I want you to think of patience more in this context. Self-restraint. Self-restraint. Anybody have a problem with that sometimes? Self-restraint. And that's the reason why it's called long what? Suffering. And you might have thought to yourself, long suffering. I have suffered in traffic. How many's ever suffered in traffic, right? Especially when you got to get someplace, right? That's not what it means. That's not what it means. What it means is when you're talking to somebody or more or less listening to somebody and they're going off on some big conversation, right? And you have in the forefront of your brain something you already want to say. How many's been in that situation? And you just wait for them to take a breath. You know, they're on and on. You're going, I'm going to time this just perfect, right? Not doing that is self-restraint. Anybody have a hard time with that?
Kids tell me all the time.
All the time.
Mom, you're already telling me what I should be doing before you even hear what I need to know.
And it's difficult not to do it. Because your brain, you know, is in self mode. Right? Your brain is like right there. And what that means is you're really not listening at all to what the person is saying. Because you already have what you want to say. You're thinking about that. And all you're doing is you're hearing, but you're not listening. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You're just waiting for that person for the right timing to go, yeah, but. Self-restraint is what? Not doing that. Sometimes, when we think of the word long-suffering, you have to understand that the suffering pertains to who? You. It pertains to you. To have that kind of patience, that even though every ounce of your being wants to go off on somebody, you're willing to die 1,000 times before you do it. How many have a hard time with that? You know you do, right? That's self-restraint. And the interesting thing is, brothers and sisters in Christ, is we are easier to restrain others than who? Self. Like Mary just said, sometimes it's easier to tell others what to do, but you can't tell yourself what to do. It's difficult. It's difficult. And we're going to learn a little bit about that today. It's not patience as waiting in traffic. It's patience in waiting, for example, for another person to get done talking before you, what? Interject. How many of you would pride yourself at being a very good listener? How many pride yourself at being a very good hearer? How many know there's a difference between those two things? Right? How many know I don't do either? I can't listen because I can't hear. And the truth of the matter is, long suffering means you have to do it for how long? Long as it takes. Have you ever been in a meeting? Oh, Bob was just talking to me. You ever been in a meeting, and you know, it was like at work where I have to go to what's called interdisciplinary team. How many know disciplinary is already a bad word, right? Interdisciplinary team. And you know, you have to listen to what everybody is saying. And how many of you tune people out? Right? Right, you're looking at the clock, right? And you say, and this is what you think. I know this is what you think, because we all think this way. Really? We just went over this 5,000 times. We got to do this again? And that's what you're thinking, because you're not listening. How many are on the same page with me? Right? This person's always got to say this over and over and over and over. What? And that's what you're thinking, because you're not what? Listening. Self what? Restraint. Self-restraint. Turn your Bibles, please, to the Epistle of James, James 1, 19 to 20.
Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires.
Do you see what it says? Be slow to speak and slow to get angry. Long-suffering in the context of what we're going to learn means self-restraint that does not hastily retaliate against a wrong done to you. The opposite of long-suffering, the opposite of patience is wrath and vengeance. That's the opposite. The opposite of long-suffering is what? Wrath and vengeance. Somebody does something to you, and you cannot wait, what? To respond. Right? You can't wait. And the whole concept of long-suffering evolves around self-restraint. Self-restraint. Again, let's go back to the phenomena I love to use because it's such a rapid thing. Road rage. You have no self-restraint. You gotta go. You gotta go tell this person off. And it's not because of what that person did, it's because what you lack. What do you lack? Self-restraint. And if you can't control you, how are you going to be able to tell others how to control themselves? It's absolutely true, right? Self-restraint. Slow to speak, slow to anger. And I want to tell you something. Hey, I speak for a living. You probably know that by now, all right? I mean, I teach, I counsel, I sing. That's what I do. And I'm really, truly, I'm being honest with my brothers and sisters. I have to focus. I am literally focusing. I am not kidding you. A client's talking to me, and I'm saying to myself, wait. I'm serious. Wait, listen. I'm saying that to myself. I truly, really, truly am. I'm going, okay. And I'm working really hard at not speaking. How many have a hard time not talking? Right? That's what we do. We're communicators, right? And the reality of it is, it's absolutely proven that your idea, your knowledge, what you got to say is much more important than the person talking.
Obviously.
Because you know more. Obviously. How many know what I'm talking about? The person you're talking to doesn't have half a clue what you got. Put in mouth, right? And the reality of it is, the truth of it is you have to work at it. I told you before, practice makes what?
Permanent,
not perfect. Practice makes permanent. And so, how many of you ever talked to somebody and you knew that person wasn't listening to you? Come on, let's be bold here, right? How many of you wanted to have a meaningful conversation or you wanted to get your point across to somebody and you were talking and you know that they were not listening to you? How many know that for? Absolutely. How many can tell that? Well, how many know they can tell that about you too?
Yeah.
It goes both ways. It goes both ways. What would happen? I am so serious. When I counsel people, especially for marriages, I tell them. And for example, if your wife comes to you and you're watching the Steeler game and she says to you, I need to talk to you, turn it off. Turn it off. Turn your body towards her, hold her hand and say, okay, I'm all yours. What do you want to say? And don't do this. All right. Then guess what? You're not listening. You're not listening. How many understand what I'm saying to you? All right, so self-restraint, long-suffering. Can you do it? It's not whether you can. It's what? Will you do it? Will you do it? And this can be to the most annoying people. in your whole life. You still have to do it. Because somebody, now think about this, if somebody is willing to talk to you about their concerns or about whatever it is, they are willing to share that part of themselves with you. Should you not take the time to what? Listen. And self-restraint also means not judging. How many are good judges of what people say? How many can say, oh, I know what you said, but I really know what you mean? We got some people like that, right? No, you don't. No, you don't. And what we got to understand that impatience means dealing with other people. The first three tools is really dealing with yourself. And patience is dealing with who? Others. Let's go to Exodus. Don't read yet, Sue. Let them get a chance to find it. Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7.
The Lord passed in front of Moses, calling out, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy. I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness.
Anybody thankful that God is slow to anger? Wow. I mean, I was talking to a person the other day that said, you know, God's out to get him. And I said, well, why do you think God's out to get you? Because of my things I've done in my life. If God was out to get people for the things you've done in your life, how many of you already have been gotten before? How many see like a pile of like dirt right there? Say, who? Well, yeah, George used to sit there. God got him. How many glad God doesn't get you? How many God sent his son to save you? Right? Bless you. And long suffering, the whole concept of long suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation, which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. Understand that long suffering is in the face of it. It's happening to you when?
Now.
It's happening to you now. And you know you want to respond. You know you want to retaliate. But long suffering is in the face of that. Long suffering is not on the way home after it's over. Self-restraint happens when?
Now.
Now. Right now. The guy goes through the red light. You don't chase. Self-restraint. Self-restraint. Somebody says something to you that you don't like about yourself. You don't retaliate. Self-restraint. Anybody need to work hard at that? Letting a person finish what they're saying and not prejudging them. Let a person continue in the conversation and not interrupt them. How many get interrupted when you're speaking from time to time? How many does that really bug you? When it happens to you, are you thinking the person's not listening to you? Right? And what we're saying to one another when we don't allow a person to continue is that my time is more important than what? Your time. Fact is, your time really doesn't matter to me. Not really. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4.
And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires.
Our goal on Sanctification Highway is leading towards what? Remember I told you salvation? Glorification. The goal of Sanctification Highway is going towards glorification, which means to become more like Christ and ultimately, hopefully, achieve it. Sanctification Highway leads to glorification, and we have been given the power, and Sue just read for you, to be able to share in his divine nature. And we just said that God is long-suffering. We just said that God is slow to anger. We just said that God is merciful. We just said that God does not pour his wrath. Do you? Are you merciful? And we said that mercy and grace is what? Unmerited favor. Or giving something to somebody that they do not what? Deserve. Are you full of grace and mercy? Are you full of grace and mercy with those you say you love? Are you full of grace and mercy with your friends? Are you full of grace and mercy with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you full of grace and mercy with those who really bug you? If God wasn't graceful and merciful, how many of you know you'd probably bug him? Would God, if God was not who he was, would he ever look at you and say, how many times did I got to tell you? Would he do that if he wasn't? How many deserve that from God? I told you don't do this, you're doing it again. Who deserves that speech? You know you do, right? You know you do. If God said, how many times I got to tell you? How many deserve that speech from God, right? Anybody thankful you don't get it?
Amen.
However, we've been given the power to share in God's divine nature. So if God doesn't do that to us, should we do that to others? No. How many of you know that everybody's different than you?
Yeah.
How many thankful?
Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you, I'm thankful. How many know that they learn differently than you? They do things differently than you? They don't see the world as you see it. Their opinions are different than yours. And is it okay for you that their opinion is different than yours? Is that okay with you? That you don't have to beat them into submission? That they must agree that you're the smartest person on the earth? Is that okay with you? I mean, is it okay with you that somebody walks away from a conversation thinking that you're wrong? Is that okay with you? Or do you need to blow a whistle, bring them back to you? No. Hey, I'm right, you're wrong. Sit down, I'm done talking to you. Is that what you must do? Well, that's not long-suffering. That's not self-restraint, right? That's not. That's the opposite. Let's turn our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 10.
Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him.
Become like Him. Now, as I told you before, you all pretty much know I'm 50, 55. Just a number. Right, Jesse?
Yes.
Just a number. And when you all woke up this morning, you didn't have to practice being you. You got you down pretty good. How many honed the you skills? How many know exactly how to be you? I mean, you are autopilot. Anybody have the autopilot? You get up and say, here I am. Ready or not, world, here I come. Right? Ready or not, world, here I come. And what is on autopilot is the way you respond, the way you talk, the way you comb your hair, the way you stop it, the same directions, you go the same way. It's autopilot. Anybody ever been so much on autopilot, you're trying to go to point B, but you're going to point A because you're so used to doing it? That's how much autopilot is, right? You know full well you're not going to destination A, but you go to destination A. That's called the autopilot, right? Well, not only is that part of who you are, but how you speak, what you say, how you look, the expressions on your face, all part of your nature. It's all who you are. And some of us have honed that pretty good. How many are pretty good at those skills? You don't have to even think about it. Just there it is, right? There it is. And even when you don't want to do it, you still do it, right? I mean, anybody have a conversation you really, really, truly, you really, truly, you know, want to be peaceful with it, and you go something like this. Come on, who knows how to do that, right? That's your autopilot, right? How many know when somebody says that what they're really saying to you? And they go, you know what they said, right? And so what we have to understand is we have to get rid of the autopilot. That stuff has got to go away. And you have to put on Christ. And can I just be bold here? Some of us put on Christ and it's not a good fit. You know, it might be a little uncomfortable at times. You know? We put on Christ, we put on the Jesus clothes, right? And we're in a meeting or a conversation or at that red light or whatever, you know, and the Jesus is on you, and you're, you know, that unlack of self-restraint. You take the Jesus stuff off because you don't want to embarrass Jesus, or take that Jesus stuff off and go do what you need to do, and then go back to, I'm sorry, put the clothes back on. That's not how this works. That's not how this works. You have to start to work on the sanctification highway of leading to what? Glorification. You can't go sanctification highway and somebody ticks you off, then back up really fast and reverse and go on the wide road and get back on sanctification highway. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. You are either on it or off of it, right? If you're on it and off of it, guess what? You're not on it. You're leading towards glorification. You want to become more like Christ. Do you have the power to do that? Yes. Is it easy? No. But can you do it?
Yes.
Yes. If you're willing to do it. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2.
Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love.
All right. So, how will people know that you're in a discipleship class? How will they know? How would they know? Because you come here Wednesday nights after hold, right? You come Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and you know you're here till 9:30, whatever. And people, oh, you're in that discipleship class. Is that how they're going to know?
No.
If that's how they know, you got a problem. I'm serious. You got a problem. I told people before when it came to me that if I have to wear a clergy shirt with a collar for you to know I'm a pastor, I'm doing something wrong. You should know I am because of how I conduct my life. Shouldn't you? I mean, if I have to, and I'm being honest now. No, sometimes I do wear it. I'm not saying you shouldn't. What I'm saying is, if I have to put something on for you to know that I'm a man of God and I got a problem. Anybody agree with that statement?
Yeah.
If you have to wear a Christian t-shirt for people to know you're a Christian, you got a problem. You got a problem. Because they should know. Now, we have elders in this church, for example. We have elders in this church. How will they know you're an elder unless you tell them? I mean, there are churches that have the little elder badge, right, Pastor Colin? Elder, deacon, whatever. They got the usher, whatever, right? How are they going to know? When they walk into this church, hi, how are you doing back there, by the way? What's your name?
Paul.
I'm so glad to see you today. I am. Can you tell me who the elders are in this church?
Can I?
Yeah. You won't know, will you? No. But let them hang around for about a month. In a month's time, if you kept coming here and I said to you, who's the elders in the church? You think she should be able to know?
Yeah.
Should she know because I told her who they were? Should she know because they have a sign?
Yeah.
Let me tell you how they'll know. Let me tell you how they should know. Paul is saying to the church, worthy of your calling. Worthy of your calling. Who called you?
God.
Worthy of your calling. And who called you? God. Right? Worthy of your calling. I beg you. Apostle Paul, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. Always, not sometimes, not most of the time, not, you know, what's the word?
Always.
Always. Always be what? Humble, gentle, patient, making allowances for each other's faults. How often do we do that? always. Always. If you lose your temper and your patience one time, you think people will know that?
Yes.
You think they'll remember that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, they will. Oh, yeah, they will. And so the point here is this. Long-suffering and self-restraint and patience is not an option. It's not an option. It's who we are called to be. To lead a life worthy of our calling, not worthy of your calling. How many understand the difference? You know we all have a calling too, right? Everybody in the hearing of my words, you've got a calling. It's called your self-worth. It's who you are. I need to be this. I need to be that. I need to let the world know who I am. That's not God's calling for you. What's God's calling for you? To be more like Him. Patient. Humble. Gentle. Not quick to correct. Not quick to point somebody's faults. That's what we're called to be. Is it difficult? Sometimes. Sometimes. And Paul was saying, look, I'm a prisoner for serving the Lord. What's he saying? I'm in jail for serving the Lord, for doing the things that are right. For doing the things that are right. And he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. I often tell people, if we're going to do a fundraiser, and I like this expression because everybody always says they're going to buy a shirt from me. And we're going to do a fundraiser for, you know, the Harvest Festival, and I'm going to sell some t-shirts. You know, $2 is all they cost. Who will buy a t-shirt from me? Well, everybody says they'll buy one from me. And then I tell them, well, I didn't tell you what's on the back of it. I forgot to tell you that. It's your real name in bold block letters. Nobody can ever mistake who you are. You'll say, like, for example, Yoshiko. And underneath that, in very bold, it says, if you don't like how I'm living my life, call my pastor. And my number's underneath it. And you have to wear that shirt for a whole month every day. Yeah, I know, it'll be dirty. Wash it. Would you wear that shirt?
Yes.
And will I get some phone calls?
Maybe.
Maybe. Come on, now, let's be real. Would you wear that shirt everywhere you go? Would you wear that shirt everywhere you go? How many would wear the shirt everywhere you go? Cool. And you know why you live a Christian life? You know why? Because my phone number. It's on the back. And you go everywhere and say, well, why do you need to be Christ-like? Because they read Tom's last numbers back there. Oh, I'm going to be good today because guess what? There's my pastor's phone number. I better be good today because fact is you may purposefully be good. Hey, I hope you're calling for the good stuff. You know it and I know it because you got a shirt that's got my name and phone number. Why you would do it. That's why you would do it. How many, come on, let's be mature here. Let's be bold. Let's be honest. How many would be a better Christian if you had that shirt with my phone number on the back of it? Come on, who'd be better? How many walk around and say, woo, watch me be a Christian today. Hey, can you read this, Jesse?
Call my dad.
You know it, and I know it. And if it takes a shirt with a phone number on the back to be a good Christian, you got a problem. Because Jesus Christ already sees. And you don't have to call Him. He already knows. And so, if we're elders or deacons or deaconesses or teachers or whatever, we are called to be humble, gentle, patient, and giving and making allowance for people's faults. How many's got faults in this room? How many's got issues? I'm going to be patient with you. You're like children. But do me a favor, be patient with me too. Because I have mistakes too, right? Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 13.
Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others.
Wow. Ooh-wee. Yeah, that's something. So, the new creature, the new creation, all of us, that's been called by God, we are to have a long temper towards others. Not a short one. Not a quick one. There were some people who say to me, especially when I do concerts with people, yeah, well, I got a really bad temper, but at least it's exploded and it is done and I'm gone, I'm through it. Oh, well, joyful. How many of you could kill somebody in 30 seconds with your words? Come on, who could kill somebody for 30 seconds with your words? How many could do it with less than 30 seconds? Quick, it's quick. It's quick, ooh, it's over. How many had a quick temper with you once in your life and you still remember it today? Though it only lasted like 10 seconds. The new creature, the new creation, the person on Sanctification Highway is long-tempered. Not short. Long-tempered. How many of you were a perfect child when you were a perfect child? Jesse, you're right. I was going to say you, Jesse. How many of you raised perfect children? Right? Let me ask you a question. A child comes in here that I never met. A child. And you never met. And the child goes up to you, and you're talking to another adult, and the child's saying, Mr. And Sonny's talking, Mr. What do you think he would say to that young child he doesn't know? Come on, what do you think he'd say? I'll tell you what he'd say. Well, honey, what do you want? I know this guy. So what'd he say? What do you want? But what would he say if one of his own kids did that? No, I didn't. He did that on me. How many of you would have more patience with somebody else's kid than you got with your own? How many say absolutely true? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? That you can be more long-tempered with somebody you don't know than somebody that you do. Ain't that something? Hey, let me ask you a question. Suppose you're teaching somebody something, right? And the person's struggling with that. They're really not getting that. And you're a teacher, Robin. Robin is teaching and instructing, and this person's just not getting it. It's taking a long time for you, right? A long time. But then you're teaching somebody that you know, somebody lives in your house. How many would say, come on, really you don't got it yet? What's the problem? How many would treat two people differently? It's the way it works, right? You would have more patience with strangers than you got with people who share your house. Ain't that something? Isn't that something? You know what? In some instances, I want to be a stranger to some people. I'd rather be a stranger. I'd rather be somebody you don't know. How many understand what I'm saying to you? I'd rather be a perfect stranger and be treated with respect and patience and humbleness than be somebody that you know and unleash on me. Am I speaking the truth? You know I'm speaking the truth. Isn't that something? And so shouldn't the long-tempered and long-suffering, the patients start where we live? Because if we don't, it's called hypocrisy. It's called hypocrite. We preach a good story, but yet this is how we live our life. What is that? That's hypocrisy. That's a hypocrite. How many understand what I'm saying to you? And we need to understand, clearly we need to understand that we need to all live a life worthy of the calling of Christ. How many of you have been called by Christ? I have been called by Christ. And I have to live a life accordingly. Not just out there, but on the road. Am I lying? No, I'm not. As a pastor, I have to live a life worthy of my calling in my house, in my church, where I work, in the board meetings. Don't you? Or does it just pertain to me? How many know it pertains to you too? Pertains to you too. How are you doing? Anybody falling short? Thank you, Bob, for being honest. Who else is falling short? So what do we got to do? Back up the truck and go back down the wide road? No. Practice makes what? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 4 to 6. 2 Corinthians 6, 4 to 6.
In everything we do, we show that we are true ministers of God. We patiently endure troubles and hardship and calamities of every kind. We have been beaten, put in prison, faced angry mobs, worked to exhaustion, endured sleepless nights, and gone without food. We prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love.
Did that pertain just to me?
No.
Mm-mm. Let me go through that list that Paul is talking about, and let me add maybe one or two of yours. Okay? In everything we do, we show that we are ministers of God. In what things that we do? Everything that we do. Which means what? Everything. It means shopping, relating with our families, talking to our friends, what we watch on TV, what we do on the computer, what we do at the red light. When a guy goes through it, it's in what? Everything that we do. Everything that we do. We patiently endure troubles and hardships and calamities of every kind. Patiently endure. Paul says, we have been beaten. How many of you have been beaten? Couple? Beaten? Okay. Been put in prison. Faced angry mobs. Worked to exhaustion. Endured sleepless nights. Gone without food. Now, I'm looking out at all of us here. Please don't say you've done that. How many could not make the pin-up child for world hunger? So let me add some for you, okay? Put up with that person at work I can't stand. Put up with my kids that don't listen to me. Put up with the traffic jams when they close every highway in Pittsburgh on the same day. I have to deal with all this stuff in my life. How many of you agree that we're not even like 1% of what Paul had to endure? Not even like a scooch or a smidgen. Right? Not even on the same planet. But Paul says, we prove ourselves by our purity, by our understanding, by our patience, by our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, by our sincere love. That's quite a list, isn't it? It's quite a list. Would people want to come to church with you? With how you live your life? Well, maybe let me ask this question. Would they want to come to your house? By how you live your life? Maybe that's a better question. Would they want to hang out with you by the way they see you treat others? Would they want to emulate you? Would they want to be you? Would they want to be you? I mean, if they hung around with you, seriously, if they hung around with you for a week and you were really you, you didn't wear the shirt with my number on the back. I mean, you were you. You were you. Would they want to be you? Would they say, that's the person I want to be like. That's it. That's the model of being a man right there. Or that's the model of a godly woman. I want to be just like that. You think they did that? Well, if that's true, brothers and sisters in Christ, if that's true, and you're a Christian, right? If that's true, what I'm saying to you, and you're a Christian instilled by the Holy Spirit of God, if that's true, what's going on? Because this is the what? This is the church. Well, here's the really good news. Life's not over yet. More chapters to be written. How many have a past? Did you know yesterday was your past? Did you know that? Did you know that last week, how you treated people in your life, that was in your past? Did you know that? Anybody thankful that's in your past? What you said, what you did, it's in your past. But here's the really good news. You know what the really good news is? The really, really, truly good news is we have a future too. We have a future too. And the really good news for all of us in this room, because God is long-suffering, praise God that He is, you're still here. Thank God that He's long-suffering, that He continues to give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be the kind of men and women that we are supposed to be. Praise God for His long-sufferingness. Praise God. So when you leave this place, you remember what you heard here today. Long-suffering, when you really look at it in the Greek, means self-what? Restraint. Self-restraint. And what you say, how you act, your dealings with other people, self-restraint. Anybody going to do better tomorrow than you did today? All right. We're on Sanctification Highway, right? We're on the narrow road. This is not easy stuff. But it wasn't easy being Jesus either. Nobody's asking you to be nailed to a tree. What they're asking you is to take all that stuff in your life and hang that on a tree. Can you do it? Will you be perfect?
No.
But you don't strive for perfection, you strive for what?
Excellence.
And practice makes what?
Permanent.
On Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to open this up, really explore it as far as the tools that we can use, okay? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hearing of these words today, Lord God. And we know whether we have these skills or not. We clearly know it. We know it. We know. We can even say we do, we may not, or whatever. We know the truth. Because, Lord God, not only do we need to show a long-suffering attitude towards people, we need to show it towards every people. Every person, everyone, not some, everyone. We need to show this long-suffering attitude of gentleness and kindness and humility and slow to anger. We need to show this to the people who share our bed. We need to show this to the children who live in our house. We need to show this to the people where we work. We need to show this to people where we shop. We need to show this people in the church that we worship. We need to show this people that don't like us. We need to show this to the world. And how are they going to know if we can't do it? Lord God, we can't just talk the talk and not walk the walk. If we just talk the talk and not walk, the word for that is hypocrisy. Lord God, I truly wonder, Lord God, if I had asked all my brothers and sisters here to give me 100 names of people that they know, 100 people that they know, and I had the time to call them all, and I asked them these questions, what would they say? What would they say? Would they say that we are all kind and gentle and humble? Would they say that? Would they say that we're slow to anger? Would they say that? Would they say to me that, oh yes, that person always takes time to listen to me. Oh yes, Lord, they're just really humble people. Would they say that? Well, the good news is, Lord God, I don't have the time, and I'm not going to ask. I suppose the bad news is you already know. Because you see them all. Lord God, help us to leave this place a lot more like you and a whole lot less of us. And all of God's people said,